You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get with your night.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Or hope you're going to have a good weekend, getting the chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to the weather will be accommodating for you to do. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, you will get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Thursdays, from 7 p.m., Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with the brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Friday, this evening at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow, Saturday at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Sister Dr. Janine. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. So I'm going to run through all of this stuff. I'm not going to do any announcements. I'm going to read the Inyasasim and make some other comments because I'm going to get my brother on, Brother Ayo Kamathi, man, who is just, man, dynamic. You know, reading about them Bolsheviks, man, got me fired up. All right. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I love Baba Baruti, and of course he has a program, so I'm going to have to announce that as well. He has a program tomorrow, him and Mama Inya. February 1st, the education of our people must have a purpose and a goal if it is to be meaningful and fulfilling. The purpose must be to install values and develop skills that will be an aid in meeting the needs of the masses of our people. Our youth must be brought to understand that they are being educated to build for all of our people, so they must prepare themselves to provide for the needs of all of our people. Baba Zulu. Ptah Hotep taught us that he who teaches speaks through the future. Let us wisely and boldly visualize and create an empowered and sovereign African future for our people. Let us support these centered educational institutions which have truly been loyal to our ancestors, which have clearly and consistently demonstrated a righteous knowledge of who we are naturally, and a dedicated, accountable, uncompromising commitment to this vision. This is a community's work and requires selfless infusion of the best of the community's resources to these institutions, because those who stand for us in what they teach our future are wholly dependent on the community to survive and thrive in this anti-African insanity. Let us be this community and make our ancestors proud. Ashe. Affirm, I'm preparing myself to better equip the children for their nation-building roles and responsibilities and supporting these institutions, which have this as their foremost priority. Affirm, I am preparing myself to better equip the children
for their nation-building roles and responsibilities and supporting these institutions, which have this as their foremost priority. February 2nd. If only we could see through others' gimmicks and go above our limits. Ajayi Kaban. Fear and apprehension keep us from doing what we know needs to be done. There are no real questions except possibly of what may be the best means and targets. Common African sense gives warriors all the answers they need. The only thing keeping any warriors from fulfilling their mission is fear and apprehension formed through immobilizing questions after immobilizing questions. The ancestors said, reasoning is the shackle of a coward, and he who is in the right shouldn't be scared. Both are fitting. Without all of this misdirecting, wasteful, disarming reasoning, true warriors hold no concern for any consequences which may prevent constructive work. A fear of death is absent, that is, has the end of things. We are spirit and life, and death does not change this. Death is simply a transition to our higher state of being. We revere aging, not only because of the wisdom that naturally accompanies it, but because also, like infants who have just left the spirit world, elders who are approaching it are closer to it, thus becoming more physiologically integrated with it. Circulatory is the basis of our thinking. Physical death does not end life. It simply transitions us to a purer, higher spiritual realm in existence. The aphorism is found in all of our original writings and untainted translations of African spirituality. Understanding this is the key to salvation and the courage to be the kind of warrior our people need to gain sovereignty. There is no fear when one cannot be murdered by destroyers. There is only the pursuit of righteousness, which is the sole determinant of one's spiritual elevation. Ashe. Affirm, I am far above the limits others attempt to impose upon me. Affirm, I am far above the limits others attempt to impose upon me. February 3rd. Indeed, part of our deepest obligations to the past, as well as to the future, is to place our own definitions on those long historical struggles of our people. Our ancestors did not wade through rivers of blood so that we might surrender the interpretation of their lives into the hands of others. Vincent Harding. Their collective job is to keep us oppressed, distracted, and pacified until we have completely forgotten who we are, what they are, and what they have done and continue to do to us. And there is a process to this pacification. First, you control the interpretation of history, making it into no more than a litany of indispensable violence, war, and conquest, turning unnecessary evil into horrendous, self-serving, positive, parochial lie, which perfectly fits your unique warmongering personality. Next, you universalize your story, pushing it on your youngest minds as everyone's one and only truth. Then you make what you have done to African people appear to be nothing more than a minor common normative act within itself, now Europeanizing, interceding historical human process. This, in turn, makes it extremely difficult for those of us who are not crystal clear that we are African to see or define you as enemy. In fact, through this deeply miseducational Euro-visualizing process, our Negroes and lost souls even menticidally come to believe that your domination of us is an act of great concern and benevolence. They have come to defensively misinterpret your psychopathic, racist, self-serving, inhumane action against us as you simply working the kinks out of an evolutionary stage which opened up the way to modern civilization. Affirm, my interpretations of our story, history, and reality are our own. Affirm, my interpretations of our story, our history, and reality are our own. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Yes, I'm. Before I get to Brother Kamathi, I want to make some announcements. Of course, many of you probably have heard that Brother Joe Madison, the Black Eagle, has made his transition. He died a couple of days ago of prostate cancer, and 74 years old. And man, I know I listened to Joe Madison a few times, especially when I was, you know, up in Baltimore, wherever, on the D.C. area. And he was fiery. Yeah, but he was a Democrat. He was a Democrat. He was a brother who loved voting. Joe Madison took the DNS. He took a DNA testing indicating he was ancestry in Sierra Leone and Mozambique. Research done, finding your roots, revealed that his great grandfather was a Caucasian from South Carolina who fought for the Confederacy during the American Civil War. See, that's the kind of shit I don't want to happen to me. That's why my high yellow ass ain't go take no DNA. My friend wants me to take a DNA test. And his biological grandfather was included in the Tuskegee experiment. And so he should have got some money. But no, you know, I'm African. If you've met my mother, you would know. She birthed me. I'm African. My father was a very light-skinned brother at the time, an entertainer. He would come through, he was out of Chicago, would come through Milwaukee, and hook up with my mama, and, you know, that kind of thing happens. Yeah, an entertainer. He was a ventriloquist. He had a little black, so he identified black as the picture he gave my mama was him and the black dummy, JoJo. Billie Holiday and JoJo. Yeah. But so I don't know, man, you know. But Joe Madison, good brother, died of prostate cancer the 31st, a couple of days ago, age 78. Yeah. Baba Baruti, they have a program in Mama Ya, Inya, tomorrow. Their quarterly men's gathering and sisters gathering. And this is the rights fundamental passage, the passage fundamental. And it's $12 and $6 for young warriors. And you can use PayPal. Go to yabaruti at yahoo.com. Go to PayPal. Or you can use Cash App. The dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Include your pertinent information, rights, passage, fundamental, your name, and your email address so you can be sent the link. So that's tomorrow. And that time is, that time is 12 to 2 p.m., 12 noon to 2 p.m., okay? And then Mama Inya, her program is 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Strong African Women Blessing is a Blessing or a Curse. The Strong African Women. So we're going to talk about that from 4 to 6. Same thing, adults $12 and teens $6. And, of course, same situation. You can go to PayPal, yabaruti at yahoo.com, or Cash App, $ Yah M. Baruti. And, of course, Strong, put the title in, Strong Black Women, your name, and your email address so you can get the link. Okay? And, of course, Baba has a book, Rites Fundamental, the Rites of Passages, and because he's trying to be clear what rites of passages are supposed to be about, you know? And, of course, the course, Asafo, the course is every Wednesday, starting this Wednesday at 7 p.m. from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time every Wednesday. $60 for adults and $35 for young warriors. Yep. The same thing applies. Okay. And then Common Sense Security next month, March 9th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Common Sense Security. I'll be making announcements on that with Baba Baruti. Yep. Okay. And then Save the Day Complementarity Conference. The Complementarity Conference is June 1st. June 1st. We need compliments. All right. Brother Apollo sent me a text, and I reached out to him and to see if how Moses West and the Moses West Foundation, you know, that's another organization I promote, the good work that Moses West is doing. And he said Moses is doing fine, but he had a young brother named Julian Brown who has found a way to turn plastics into, a young brother turning exhibit of plastics into fuel. He's going to be here in Atlanta. His name is Brother Julian Brown, and Plastics to Fuel. Man. So he's going to be on Monday. Brother Moses, I don't know if he's going to be on, but Brother Apollo, me and Julian Brown will be on Monday, this Monday. And then next Friday, family, I'll be talking to the Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, Minister of Wellness. He has a new book out, and I promote the Brother Minister of Wellness, definitely. So, let me see. Is there anything else that I want to throw out before I get off into the conversation that is seriously deep, y'all? Seriously deep. And it needs to be dealt with. Brother Ayo.
Yes, sir. How you doing, my brother?
I am well. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Baba. Appreciate that strong opening, and always appreciate being here with you and your audience.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. I really do. Some people say that shit. They don't really mean it, but I do. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I do, man. Believe me. The irritated genie, always a lot of love and admiration for sure, for what you have the courage to do, man. You have the courage to do, and I support you. You know that. So, Jews are the problem. You know, the Bolsheviks
are
the problem. And the more I read this and the more I reflected on things, I mean, I knew that from Jump Street, but it affirmed a lot of the things that I thought, you know, and, man, brothers and sisters, you have to get this book. Now, I ain't talking about, you know, this got to read. No, you really do. If you want to know what the hell is going on, if you want to know what's who's behind a lot of the things that are happening and why they are happening, you know, you need to get this book. Yeah. So let us get off into, if you want to start something, we should start it from the beginning, right? Let's do that. You know, from a theological standpoint, you know, we as African people created theology, particularly in ancient Kemet. It was a foundational theology, you know. And then, of course, others followed suit. Other cultures. And other civilizations follow suit. But the first ones was us. And sometime we were given the props and the respect for that. But oftentimes, you know, we've been lied on. You know? I recognize and know that the reason why this happened because others came in and they wanted to through their theology, control and dominate the world.
Yeah, so the way I would get into that everything we know that we call religion, except Satanism. Let me be clear. This is outside of Satanism. But Christianity, Islam, Buddhism,
Hindu,
any of these, yeah, Hinduism, yeah. All of these things have a foundation coming out of African spirituality. Now, they have taken them and gone different directions with it, but the foundational principles of a creation story, of a higher power created as greater than us, that we all are part of living under that magnificence of this great power force that we would call God. All of these concepts and ideas of how to treat man one to the other, what is the woman's purpose here? What is the man's purpose here? What is family here for? That people are the highest form of thinking creatures and have a special place in the universe based on our construct. All of these things come from African people. When we look at the reality that when we hear these things, Islam, Christianity, we never hear anything being brought up about the fact that they were all, the concepts of them are generally taken directly from African spirituality, tells us the enemies that we have on the planet. Because these are people, most often, who have come into Africa and enslaved African people, taken our ideas and suited them to their needs, and then turned it back around and offered to us as enslaved people of something for us to believe in. When in fact, we don't need any of these things because we were the ones that created the foundation of it to begin with.
I say.
Now, in particular, as we talk about, you know, that's my book, Jews Are the Problem, and the issues of the Jews, no one more than the Jews has created their whole story of their reality off of our legacy and spiritual tradition. In other words, they're just a group of Caucasians, whether you're talking the Sephardic or the Ashkenazi. They are not African. They're a group of Europeans who saw the marvel and splendor of what we were able to create as African people. There's a chapter in a book called The Theft of African History.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Jewish theft of African history.
Yeah.
And they took that and created an identity that's not real and then said it was them. They go, one of our great kings we know, they call it, the Europeans call him Ramses the Great.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Usumatra Hetepenra Ramesu Meri Amun. Ramesu is where they get Ramses from. Ramesu.
Mm-hmm.
And this great king, in his name is Hetepenra, chosen by God.
Right.
The Jews, who say that they're God's chosen people, take a concept that was about us saying that there was a leader who would protect the nation and do his job. We would look at as someone who was chosen by God to lead the people. It was never about one people being greater than another people. The Jews take this concept out of his name and out of that concept, Hetepenra, chosen by God, appoint themselves, who weren't even around when it was there, as those individuals who are chosen by God, and as opposed to taking it as a responsibility to protect something and do right and provide leadership, take it and make it them a superior group that has the right to exploit, kill, monopolize, and destroy others. And it is through that theft of African history and spiritual concepts and traditions that they have created, with a lot of knowledge and understanding that they stole from us, but they have prevented us from being connected to. They have turned it upside down and used it to exploit every group of people on this planet. They've taken our sophisticated understanding of psychology, understanding of balance between man and woman, and totally flipped it, creating an imbalance, putting man with man and woman with woman. Taking our understanding of development and progress and growth and taking that and say, well, we'll take it and change it and make it only some people can have something. And then they create poverty by preventing other people from being able to benefit from that which they produce. So they've taken our wisdom and understanding and flipped every aspect of it to make some kind of satanic, sick, perverse reality that we're all living in today. And so what we're actually living in is the theft of our, and the best way for me to describe it so everybody can understand what I'm talking about. It's happened over and over in America. We make a beautiful sounding music that comes out of our spirit and soul called jazz, where we express through music our pain and suffering and joy in life, family, children being born. All of that goes into sounds that we coordinate with each other. Man, it's beautiful when it starts. The tune comes in and takes that magnificence of jazz, redirects it, steals all the money from it, and now you get to a point where the only jazz musicians you see are white. Or we can even move it up to hip-hop.
Yeah.
We start off in the inner cities, poor, but we have spirit. So brothers are saying some rhymes, a little poetry here, sisters saying a little poetry there. And eventually we get to the point where we start talking about our liberation through it. The Jew comes in, finances young brothers that are coming out of gang culture. Every negative, degenerate, satanic, destructive idea you can think of, they finance young people to promote that. And all music from black people and our spirit and creativity since 1988 has now been rolled up into Satanism.
Corrupted.
Kill your brother. Kill your brother. Rape your sister. Do dope. Sell dope. Be a criminal. Don't pay attention to what's important in reality and work to develop skills to produce your community. No, destroy your community. Have no values and be proud of not having values. They take the greatness that is us, they twist it and turn it and make something very destructive and then put it on the whole society and then turn around and say, look at these people right here. Look how vile and disgusting they are when they are the ones that orchestrate this whole entire process of the destruction of our people and then use it against the whole planet.
And see, a lot of people don't want to believe that because the Jews have gained world sympathy because of how they said they have been treated over millennials, how they've been kicked out and shunned and even, you know, in Europe, eliminated, tried to be eliminated through this so-called Holocaust, you know. And so they have this sympathy. Go ahead.
I want to speak to that because I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm going to tell you how disgusting a group these people are. 2 days ago, I'm talking Wednesday, brother, I just went to the state legislature in Maryland to fight against a bill that these Jews have. I'm going to show you how absolutely disrespectful and horrid the Jew is. Would you, but you wouldn't believe me if I tell you, you're not going to believe this. Now, you and me are... We're in America now. I'm not talking about nowhere else in the world. We live in America, brother. We are the Holocaust. We survived the greatest atrocity in the history of the world, according to us, what we have gone through, the Ma'afa, and we're still here and pushing. This is America. If it's going to be called the Holocaust, there's only two groups that can even say that, African people or the Native Americans.
Exactly.
I, even though they're not here to speak for themselves, I'll let them in on this one. I'll speak for them. I wouldn't argue with them. They got an excellent argument that the Holocaust applies to them as well on this land. No question about it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Would you believe that the Jews of Maryland are asking for money out of my pocket, the taxpayer's dollars, to teach American students and children about something that happened in Germany? Now, here's the worst part about it. If the Holocaust, and we're in America, is going to be taught in a school, it's going to be talking about what happened to black people. That's the Holocaust teaching in an education system. I had to go to this hearing yesterday. I was infuriated. The Jews are literally stealing our suffering, putting a Jew face on it, and say, give me some shekels. I had to tell the black people that you were, your ancestors would be turning over in their grave if you gave one penny or a vote for a Jew who never suffered one day of tyranny in America. In fact, they financed the slave trade and financed the Holocaust.
Yes.
They were the creators of the Holocaust. They don't need no money. They ain't supposed to be paying for it. Then I had to tell the Native Americans, your ancestors would turn over in their grave if you gave $1 to a Jew who, it was Andrew Levi Andrew, who was the Jew that provided the smallpox blankets to exterminate Pontiac's alliance. Gave it to Jeffrey Amherst, and they exterminated the Native Americans, and that's how this country was born. Their ancestors were turned over in the grave if they would support a Jew putting on Native American, putting on Jew face over Native American extermination and saying the Holocaust in America. Then I had to sit there, brother, and look the white folks in their face. You know I don't defend no white folks.
I know that's right.
So I'm gonna ask for forgiveness for my brothers and sisters in here. I did something I don't do, but I had to do it. I looked at the white folks and I said, look, I'm gonna tell you like this. Yes, you were participants in the Atlantic slave trade, my people, and the desecration of the Native Americans. I said, but on this one, I'm going to defend the white folks. On this one, you built this country and we built this country. It was white folks and black folks. We didn't want to do it, but that's what the history says. When the Jews called on you to come help them in Germany, it was your call. We didn't have nothing to do with it. We went and helped, but it was your decision. You went and saved them. You don't owe a Jew nothing.
Right.
The Jew owes you as a white man for saving his behind. And I ain't never in my 50 years of living, black man, you tell me if I'm wrong, I ain't never in my life heard a Jew say thank you to American citizens for saving them from the so-called Holocaust.
Mm.
So I said, they cannot come here and steal my money to lie on my pain and suffering and put a Jew face on it. Tell me what Jew and what group of Jews suffered any kind of crisis in the United States of America that I would need to be learning about their pain with all the pain and suffering you and the Native Americans and every black man, woman, and child in this country have, and we still suffering atrocities to this day. Man, I would not, I'm not one of those people that don't pay taxes. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd rather fight police than fight them taxes. I saw what happened to Al Capone when I was a young man, and I'm not going to lie, that kind of shook me. I said, I'm going to pay taxes, but I'm going to tell you something. If they come out with a bill that they're going to take some of my money to get some Jews talking about a Holocaust, I'm going to go to this whole thing and learn how not to pay taxes.
I heard that.
I'm going to figure out what's this whole thing about. I'm not giving those Jews no money.
Yeah, there's a sister. There's a sister who has been teaching people the fact that the tax codes and the tax laws are unconstitutional. She's been teaching people about that. I'll give you the information on that because Brother Kwaku, the brother who helps me engineer this program, he's got that information. I'll make sure that you get it. For sure.
Yes, sir. I'd appreciate it.
No doubt. No doubt, brother. But, I mean, there's no doubt because Mama Nabantu, you got something to add there?
I got something to send him.
Okay.
Well, he don't have to pay taxes legally.
Okay, well, you're on with Brother Ayu Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. We're talking about the real issue. The Jews are the problem. Jews are the problem.
Yes, thank you. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, that he was able to come up and and write the book.
Yeah.
Does it need to be written?
Yeah. That's courage. I love him. Yeah, that's courage.
Yeah, but there is a way that Trump and Gates and all of them are not paying taxes. Mm. And I can share that with them offline.
Okay. All right. We'll make that happen, okay?
Thank you so much.
Do you have any questions for Brother Kamathi, Brother Ayo?
No, I didn't.
You just want to listen? Okay. All right, sister. All right, Mama Nabantu. She's with the Pan-African Federalist Movement and does a lot of good stuff here in the ATL area. But, yeah, man, I tell you.
Yes, sir.
You know, the gall of these people is just tremendous, man. Once you read the book and start understanding how they manipulate and been manipulating and scrutinizing, undermining and distorting and just all out thievery, man, you know.
I'm going to tell you how bad from my perspective, and for people who are aware of me and familiar with me, this is going to sound bizarre if you haven't been following me. So I want everybody to just go ahead and brace. Hold your seat right now, because I'm going to share something with people. I'm going to tell you how outlandish and intolerable the behavior of Jews has become in the modern context. The irritated genie of Southeast, Ayo Kimasi, the effeminization of the black male, you know it, y'all know, war on the horizon, black resistance to the homophile assault.
Yep.
That guy, genocide, they've come to kill us. This man that you know of and come to love and respect, the Jews have become so intolerable. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. I am working with National Socialists, i.e. Nazis, and white conservative Americans. I don't need to tell you how I feel about white conservative Americans. Don't need to recount that. Y'all already know.
Yeah.
you might as well say, it's hard for me to say the Klan, but y'all understand what I'm talking about. Because, I mean, ain't none of us going to say we walking with the Klan, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm walking with the most hostile elements of the white community against black people. And what we have in common is we don't like each other, one. So we ain't doing no miscegenation. Ain't nobody dating my daughter, and I don't want theirs. Two, all the ones I deal with, it's got to be very clear. I ain't with no homosexuality or no pedophilia. It's unacceptable on all levels, and we not negotiating that. If you with that, and if you're not against it, we can't even talk. Every one of them is like, we with you 100%. I'm like, I didn't expect to hear that. And then thirdly, Jews are the problem.
I say.
That's what we are working with now because, and I'm saying that to say, for me to be working with the most racist elements of white America to deal with this problem, this must be quite a problem. People should want to know, brother, how can something be so bad that you would work with them? And then to understand that, people would then have to know, what is the world condition actually creating? And what it's creating, I just did a bill yesterday that I testified on, and I just came out directly with an indictment at the legislature. And I call it Gentile side or Goya side. You know, the Jews call us the Goyim.
Right, the
Goyim. They call us Gentiles.
Right. What is that word again?
When I read us,
I read it in the book. It says Goyo. It's because it's just
Goyim. G-O-Y-I-M.
Goyim.
Yes. So if you're an individual, they call you a goy. If it's the group of all of us, it's called goyim. Now, I want you to understand when I say us. From the Jewish perspective, there's no white, there's no black, there's no Asian, there's no Hispanic. There's Jews and the goys, the goyim. Jews and Gentiles. A Gentile is anything that's not a Jew. It has no value, and they have the right to steal, rob, and kill you. Exploit, rape, and plunder.
That's
their religious order.
That's in the Talmud, isn't it? In the In the Talmud. The
Babylonian Talmud, yes. Mm-hmm. And to be clear, the Babylonian Talmud is the ruling authority of their religious tradition. The Torah is like a little playbook. The real book that they go by, that their rabbis are referred to, is an oral tradition that is written in the Babylonian Talmud, which is their right to themselves through God that they worship, which is Satan, to molest, participate in pedophilia, homosexuality, rape, murder, and torture of all of the goyim, which means, in this case, white, black, Asian, and everybody. So I had to testify yesterday because we have a peer-reviewed paper from a gentleman named J. Bart Klassen. He's an MD, a doctor, who worked right across the hall from Anthony Fauci as early as 1988, as far back as then. In his peer-reviewed paper, it's in Science Vision online, medical journal, peer-reviewed. Scientists from around the world have put their reputations on the line to rubber stamp it. He said he witnessed the Israeli Jews coming into the United States of America, the Mossad and other Jews, using American assets at NIH and NIAID and other government agencies to create an international bioweapon for the purpose of the extermination of non-Jews on this planet.
Mm.
That weapon we now call COVID-19 and the injection. Now, based upon that, what we're looking at, what we thought was a virus, it is not a virus, it is a bioweapon. It is a literal effort, and it's not an attempt because they've done it and they're continuing to do it, of bioweapon warfare waged on the entire planet. Remember, when this so-called COVID thing came out, the bioweapon, the entire planet was shut down. We can tell you the names of the people. I can tell you who created the new technology for this bioweapon injection, mass genocide of the world. Weizmann. Weizmann is a who? A Jew. Who is it that mandated, you got to go take that jab, no job? Walensky, head of CDC. Who is she? A Jew. Who was in control of the rollout of these injections in this mass genocide? Zients, he's a what? Jew. You go down the list. Who is control and owner of Pfizer? Berler, a Greek, Sephardic, what? Jew. You ask, who's in control of the entire bioweapon industry? It's Jews. The WEF, who, the World Economic Forum, who is their chief advisor to Klaus Schwab? Yuval Noah Harari, a homosexual married to a man, Jew, who is the one saying we are going to eliminate. I mean, this is stuff that he talks about publicly. I'm not making this up. Barack Obama, the Jew asset and tool, the homosexual Jew tool, that's all he is a little fun boy for the Jews. That's who he is and what he'll always be. Obama was telling people when they asked him in an interview, what books do you read? He named two books, and one of them was from this homosexual Jew who talks about the fact we're going to eliminate people as we know it and merge the human genome with computers and science and eliminate the basic human construct that we know and look at people today. In other words, a weird kind of science fiction genocide that is occurring with these bioweapon injections that have all kind of technology in them. mRNA, by definition, is not a vaccine. I'm going to say it again. Anybody calling themselves a vaccine, they're lying to you. They just don't know any better. It is not a vaccine by definition. If you look up mRNA, it is technology. You are getting gene editing technology. That's why it never stopped one person from catching the so-called COVID and didn't stop one person from spreading it. They told you would get, if it's a vaccine, you would have got it one shot and it'd have been done.
Right.
You got on your 10th shot,
right.
You still ain't woke up yet.
And
wake
you,
up.
And you done got, some people have already gotten 4 or 5 shots.
Man, people done gotten 4 or 5 shots. Some people have lost legs. Some people have myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots, brain aneurysms. death and genocide all around us, and we still have people that haven't woken up and realized what's going on. We are under Jewish genocidal assault through bioweapon technology and warfare. That's what it is.
And see,
and it's on record at the Maryland, it's on record at the Maryland legislature. I put the written documentation, and I did it verbally, face to face, in front of the Jews and everybody else sitting there. Just yesterday, I just walked out of it. So the war is on, man. We're going to fight. We're not going to get wiped out. And
right
if we're
on.
Not going to get wiped out, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back to you. I just want to say this one thing to wrap up what I'm saying. The only reason I'm working with anybody that's not black is because they're killing all of us, so it doesn't make sense for me to hold on my ego. Whoever's willing to fight these Jews and prevent this mass genocide, this Gentile side or the Goya side, this extermination of the Goyim of the Gentiles, which is all of us, whoever will fight in that battle, let's fight. We ain't going out to dinner. You ain't coming to visit my house, but we can fight some Jews. Turn it back to you, my brother.
Right on. Well, listen, man. Like I said, this book is eye-opening and makes you keenly very aware what we're up against. It's an overall frontal attack. And it's also covert. It's also sneaky as hell. You know, a lot of us just would just soon go about our daily lives and hopefully that you can merrily live your life and that'll be it. Not understanding that there are things that are going to be happening in the future financially, health-wise, and so forth. This is something that I look at. Now, you know, as a Pan-Africanist, I want African people to live. I want us to live. And I want us to live based upon our own self-determining, independent, sovereign way. And that's something that is so far off at this moment, it's ridiculous. And it has been because we have been so fragmented for so long. But still, that is what I promote. That is what my hope, my heart and mind hopes happen for African people, that we come to the realization of who we are and the greatness that we've been, and then close ranks, pull resources, and do for ourselves. And don't let anybody come in, because if whoever has come in has always been detrimental to us. You know, I mean, when I was coming up as a kid, Jews were our friend. You know, I came up in the 60s. You know, there were people who understood that they were not. But the relationship has always been, you know, the Jew is the landlord, you the tenant. The Jew is the merchant, you the customer. The Jew, but the fact that they started the NAACP and Urban League, the fact that they bankrolled or helped with the boycotts and the bus rides and all this other shit, you know, that they somehow were our friend. You know, the fact that Abe Saperstein had the Harlem Globetrotters parading them around the world, you know, while he made tons and tons of money. Man,
they know how to exploit. They are the major master parasites on planet Earth. Like, there's no parasite more effective at stripping the value of anything that it attaches itself to better than the Jew. If you are good at boxing, he will learn how to make you box for him. If you are good at cooking, he will learn how to take your menus and your recipes and make himself rich. If you can sing, he will take your beautiful voice and sing a song of how much money he's making off of your talent. It doesn't matter. If you're a builder and you can create and build, and you would otherwise be rich because of how much building you do effectively, he will create a system where in order to build, you have to pay him to build. Mm-hmm. So whatever money you're getting, he gets more money from the building that you do than you do.
Yeah.
He's a master exploiter.
And because he does it so deviously, so, you know, conniving, that it's hard to, just like what they do when you bring something to the attention that they're doing, and they try to suppress it, like they did Marlon Brando, like they did Spike Lee, like they did Michael Jackson, and so many others, you know, to silence you, that you should, you can't speak the truth and say what the hell they're doing up front, and then label you, which is wrong, anti-Semitic, because they're not Semitic. They're not Semitic people. They're Europeans. They're Caucasians. They're not. In fact, I know you probably noticed, you can't, you can't, in Israel, you cannot take DNA tests. Because
right.
The DNA test will reveal that your ass has no right, no right to the land that is Palestine. You know?
Let me talk about that. Let me talk about that. And Kwame Ture, Baba Kwame Ture, peace be upon him, was the one who I first heard this from. And I'm like, I don't know why we don't just stand on this, because this really tells the story. Now, the individual who was the one responsible for what they call Zionism, they call him the father of Zionism.
Oh, yeah. Theodore Herzl.
Theodore Herzl.
Yeah, Theodore Herzl. Mm-hmm.
Theodore Herzl, this is him. Theodore Herzl says, he says that God has promised this land, a land for the Jews, and they agreed that that land was Palestine, that God had promised them that they could go and take Palestine for their own because that was their homeland. Here's the problem with that. It shows you how untrustworthy a Jew is. Theodore Herzl was a self-proclaimed atheist. Stop for a minute. What does that mean? An atheist is not one who doesn't know about God. An atheist affirmatively says, I believe there is no God. I'm going to say it again. By definition, an atheist declares God does not exist. So then we would have to say, what kind of criminal trickster David Copperfield is this, that God, who you say does not exist, has promised you somebody else's land to be yours and given you the right to go kill them and enslave them and apartheid them in order to take it? Explain that one. What it really says is that you have determined that you are God, and you decide where you want to go take something from.
Right.
And that's exactly how they play it out. And all the rest of us just sit up here looking up in the sky in a daze while they just go and do whatever they want. And because, again, like you said, they steal our suffering. We are the ones that they put through a Holocaust by financing the Atlantic slave trade, but then they make up the idea that they're the victims. I want to talk about Nazi Germany for a minute. Again, I'm not a fan of no Germans. The Germans were responsible for the Berlin Conference.
Right.
Bismarck, Chancellor of Germany, in 1885, called a Berlin Conference, and they came and carved up the African continent and raped and pillaged. So I don't like no Germans. I'm anti-German. But I'll say this, not from the perspective of an African who remembers the 10 million people that Dale Jones tells us in Namibia with General von Trotha says what? I will no longer accept any of your women or children as gifts. The Herero will leave, or the Herero will die. Where they the declaration of the extermination of 10 million of our Herero brothers and sisters, according to Brother Dale Jones, Baba Dale Jones, peace be upon him,
right,
the war correspondent. Listen, here's the thing, though. From an objective outside view as an African, I'm not talking about how I feel about Germans. I'm already anti-German. The reality of it is that when the Jews tried to begin the Bolshevik Revolution in 1903, in the beginning, this is before the actual 1917 success of it, they went and tried to murder the Tsar and take Russia, and it took over like 3 days, and the Russians said, oh, we're not going to tolerate this Jewish nonsense, and began to put down the rebellion. They had to flee Russia. No country in Europe wanted the Jews. The only country that would take them was Germany. Yeah, you are brothers. Come on in. So the Germans brought them all in as brothers, let them get into banking, trade, international trade, finance. Years later, when they have a war, I want everybody to hear this. The Germans had developed a navy so powerful that they was able to beat England, France, all of them. They whooped their behind. They had won what we traditionally call World War I. It was pretty much over. They were about to settle an agreement. And the same Jews that the Germans let come into Germany, the same Jews that got rich from the Germans, who let them flee the persecution they justly deserved for what they did in Russia, them same Jews went to England and said, look, we got a deal for you. Balfour. It's called the Balfour Declaration.
Yes, the Balfour Declaration.
Look, we can help you win this war. World War I. We'll help you win for one thing. So they said, well, what do you mean? We can't win this war. This war is over. They said, no, we'll go ahead and bring the Americans in. They said, how are you going to do that? They said, don't worry about that. That's not your issue. That's our issue. We'll get the Americans to fight this war and beat the Germans. Here's the only thing, though. In order for us to do this, you sign this declaration agreeing to give us Palestine for our homeland.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that, and that's why Germany got destroyed, because America got into World War I, and the Germans were like, what are you doing here? Germany was America's biggest trade partner. They made all the goods like China does today. Germany was the one making all the goods in America. So, like, Americans and Germans were like brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So the Germans were like, why is America in this? They didn't even know what happened, that the Jews that they had saved and let come in and get rich off of Germany had betrayed them and brought America in to destroy them. The Jews came in, destroyed Germany, started pushing pedophilia, homosexuality, transsexualism, all this stuff we see today. None of this stuff is new. This was the Weimar Republic. This was where the Jews took the Germans and their children and made them sex slaves. The boys became homosexuals. The girls became lesbians. It got so bad that they didn't even know how to mate. And which is why when Hitler studied what had happened and realized the Jews had done that, is why he came out and wrote Mein Kampf, My Story, My Struggles. And he was talking about the Jewish intentional undermining and destruction of the German people, who, again, ain't my friends. I'm not saying as a friend. I'm an objective onlooker. So I'm going to just give my reality on this based on the history.
Mm-hmm.
Me not being a fan of the Germans, I'm going to be honest with something. I want to say this. As far as I'm concerned, if I was a leader of the country, and I'm not a leader, so I'm not knocking Hitler in you know, retrospect, but I'm saying me personally, ideologically, if I have a nation, brother, me and you in a nation, and we're a family and we're protecting our nation, and somebody we let in comes in and does what the Jews did, to me, that's treason to our nation.
Yep.
If they commit that kind of treason, every single one of them, bar none of them, I'm lining all of them up. Like, in most countries, they have a law
that
governs the country that says
you kill them.
Yes. Treason is punishable by death, capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I would line all of them up and execute every single one of them. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't understand why Jews are making a complaint about Hitler. He was the nicest guy in the world for what they did. He let them go to Israel. This thing that they talk about, it wasn't no 6 million of them that died. And even if it was, they died because of treason. They should have been lined up and executed based on their behavior. That's just history, and that's just law. Traitors in any country that are convicted of treason are killed. What they did is worse national treason than anything I have ever studied. There may be a worse treason against a nation in history, but I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not that good of a history, but I've never heard of a worse treason than what the Jews did after being saved from Russia and then had the nerve to go back in 1917, and from 1917 to 1960s, they killed upwards of 66 million Russians.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
It was the Bolshevik Revolution. There was no Bolshevik Revolution. It was the Jew Revolution. That was the Bolsheviks with Jews.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership was Jews. Marx and Lenin and Trotsky, Yagoda, Kaganovic, Jews.
Man.
These are a very dangerous group of people, and they're turning the world into a Bolshevik revolution.
Again.
And turning all of us, all of us. We've got to ask, how do we get involved in this? Because the Jews is taking everybody out. Not me, buddy. I'm fighting back.
I hear you. Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, my contention is we have a continent that has all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without and don't want to pay for, a Dr. John Henry Clark quote. And yet, because of how we have been treated and things that have happened to us, we have no idea. We have no concept of closing ranks, pulling resources, and controlling those resources. We have no idea. And it's a damn shame. And so those of us who preach this, who advocate this, who want to bring this into being, it is very difficult. Because it is our only salvation. It is not here. It's not in Europe. It's not anywhere else but on the continent. It's not in the Caribbean. It's not in Central South America. It's the only place for African peoples on the continent. Because everywhere else that we are, we get dogged out. Look what happened in the Ukraine. When the shit jumped off, we couldn't get out. We were relegated kicking us off the train and shit. You got to wait. Wait a minute. I'm in line. No.
And,
you got to get back.
And who is the president of Ukraine? He is a what?
A Jew.
A cross-dressing, homophile Jew.
Yeah, I did see him. Yeah, that's part of the book. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not even exaggerating. When I say cross, I'm not, like, insulting him. Like, he really is a cross-dresser. Like, not one time. Not, like, one time he did it when he was a teenager. No. He performed in cross. He's a queer. He's a tranny. With like, videos of trannyism and pictures. You saw it in the book. Yes, in the book. We even have links to the videos. You can. I mean, this guy's an actual, like, RuPaul, Jew RuPaul, running the country, like you said, when black people want to leave and go home when this war starts. They trying to force us to go out there and fight in a war that we don't have anything to do with. Typical Jew, man.
Yeah.
Fight your own war, Jew.
Well, we have a lot of, Brother Kamathi, we have a lot of listeners who want to get in on this conversation. Brothers and sisters, you know what to do. Hit star twice. Hit star twice, and you can get in on this conversation. We're talking today with Brother Ayo Kamathi, The Irritated Genie, his book, Jews Are the Problem. And my contention is that, you know, that we're going to have other programs besides this one today on dealing with this particular subject, because there's a lot to deal with, and it's very serious. In fact, it is something that we have to take seriously, because it's our life, you know? It's our life as a people, you know, seriously. So if you want to get in, brothers and sisters, you know what to do. Hit star twice or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I see a lot of you guys in there, so if you hit star twice, you'll get in. I don't want to open you up to get in. Ah, Brother Jay, good afternoon.
It good afternoon to you, Brother Oshie, and to Brother Genie. It just sounds straight up that Jew is the damn devil. I mean, he sounds almost, if not more devilish than the white man. And nothing could be more devilish than that cracker. But listen, I just want to, before I say anything, ask you this one question. In regards to the story that you was talking about earlier with the city council, I think it was, did they give them the money?
We just did it yesterday, so it won't be to the end of the congressional session in April that we know. But I don't know, but I'm going to fight it. I tell you that much.
Now, in regards to that, were there any other Negroes or white folks or anybody at all? Did the Babalooey show up pushing their agenda in regards to immigration? Did anybody support you in what you're saying? And did the council members take heed to what you were saying? Because what you said was simplistic.
Excellent question, my brother. I'm so glad you asked that. I'll tell you what's going on in Maryland. There's some people that are fighting basic bills, but anything that you have to stand up to the Jew is one guy that pops up. It's me, and it's a white guy. His name is Vince McAvoy. This white guy is at every hearing he could be in, and yes, he stands up, and he's the only other person that stands up and fights. But I will tell you this. I've gone and talked personal one-on-one with some of these legislators, and the truth of it is they're afraid of the Jews.
Yes, they are.
Some of them – now, here's the crazy thing, though. It's going to sound crazy. The sisters – you got a couple of sisters in there that are buck wild, and they're fighters. So I'll get it. It's a couple. But most of them – are Jew girls. What I mean is they run and owned by the Jews, the sisters. I'm going to be real. The brothers, they're not going to say anything publicly, but they don't like what they see, and they don't always vote in favor of the Jews. They kind of try to be quiet about why they're doing it, but they're not standing up loud because they know that they'll get rid of them. But the ones who are most in agreement with me, a few sisters, and honestly, it's the white guys. The white conservative males, the white conservative females agree with me, but they won't say it, but they agree. They find other ways to fight some of these bills. The white conservative males agree with me, and they just fight against the bills. They won't say nothing about a Jew, but every time I come in to testify, literally, they start smiling and smirking. They can't even hold it because they know I'm going to go right at this Jew for what they're doing and the evil that they're doing, and they enjoy it. So it's like one of those things where the Jews control the legislature financially, and everybody in the legislature is afraid of them, but there are some people that don't like what they're doing. They just won't express themselves.
Brother, you know the analogy that you just gave is one of the most truthful analogies ever given in regards to the relationship with the Jew in American society. You know, it's really, to be honest with you, amazing how such a small group could have a stranglehold over this society. And to be honest, I really don't give a F, you know. But the point of the matter that I would like for you to expand upon is, how do we as African people deal and address with the issues that we have to face to survive this Holocaust, separated from the bullshit of the Jew? Because all that you do in regards to the Jew, most Negroes do not support. At this time, how do us that agree with you mobilize ourselves to be able to understand who and what the Jew is, but to move forward to sovereignty? Because the reality is, I know it's a lonely place for you as one of a few brothers who stand up and fight this filthy, stinking Jew. But we have to motivate ourselves to understand who this Jew is, but to garner what we need to do to move forward. Because it's very clear what the Jew is. And, you know, in a sense, in some ways, we really need to be studying the Jew even harder to understand and to figure out how the stinking no good bastard doesn't get into this position with just a small amount of the population of the world. Because he's basically, if you think about it, the cause of every effing problem going on right now on the planet. Everything going on this planet, the Jew have something to do with it. And when you say that, the first thing they want to try to throw in your face is
anti-Semitism. Yeah, you're anti-Semite.
Now, you know, the thing is this. One of my bobbers, Brother Kitty Iwadu, years ago said, how could I be an anti-Semite? And nobody has ever really pushed back on that, Brother Genie. How can I be an anti-Semite and I'm a Semite? I really think we need to figure out how we could push forward that argument.
Kyrie Irving did, didn't he?
No. He just, listen, OT. Kyrie Irving is just one person that didn't have nobody to back him up and move
no,
that
you're
forward.
Right.
That's
no.
what we need.
Right. No,
That's
you're right. I'm
need.
Just saying that he publicly
That's
said,
what we need.
I can't be an anti-Semite. But anyway, you're right. Go ahead, brother.
But that's basically what I'm saying, brother Genie. How do we move this fight forward to deal with issues in regards to, you want to call me an anti-Semite? Okay, now we're going to war on anti-Semitism. And that's it.
All right, Jay.
But hold up and put me on hold. All right,
brother.
Enjoying the show.
All right, brother.
All right, I gotta address this. First of all, I don't even know this brother, but I love this brother. This brother's strong, man.
That's my boy.
The first
James,
thing.
That's my brother.
Excellent question. Let me tell you, the excellent question. Let me tell you, in my immaturity, I'm gonna be honest. Can I be honest, brother Ochi, on your pro? Can I be honest, brother?
Always. Always, brother Ayo. Always, my man.
All right. I'm gonna tell y'all the truth. Oh, boy. Years ago, it was called Break the Chains in D.C. And they would bring all the scholars together and they would teach. And this one was called Break the Chains. It was called The Plan. How are we going to get our liberation? Something, but it's called The Plan. So I'm a young guy in my 20s. Me and my mother went. We wanted to go hear this. What's the plan we're going to do to get free? And, you know, I was a little, when I was younger, you know, not immature, but, you know, I kind of thought, hey, I'm actually going to get the plan, walk out of here, and now we can go be free.
Right, naive.
So I'm waiting to hear a plan. Right, naive. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. And I'm looking for them to say, this is what you do, A, B, C, D, just like the brother just said. And I won't forget this as long as I live. Baba Tony Martin was there.
Yeah.
And he was talking about his book, mm-hmm. Jewish Onslaught. And I never forget, I love Baba Tony Martin.
Yes.
And I liked his discussion on the Jews. But I never forget what he said at the end. He said, I don't have the answer for exactly what we do to fulfill our full liberation. He said, what I do know is it'll never happen until we deal with the Jews and their control of our economic, social, and political affairs. And I remember, at that time, again, in my naivety and immaturity, I was like, yeah, I hear you. You're still talking about the Jews, but I want to talk about the white folks and what we're going to do. And it is only now in the maturity. I'm 50 years old. I have no excuses anymore. I'm in warfare. And to the brother's point, I got to figure out how to fight. And what I figured out is, wow, these Jews are further than they were when Baba Tony Martin was here and gave us the answer. If we don't cut the shackles tied to the Jew off of us, we're going to get destroyed with the white folks because they finished playing around with us. They have us in such a horrible condition. They're not concerned about us right now. They're really not. Mm-hmm. They're worried about the white race because they're trying to kill them too, and the Asian. And they're slaughtering everybody at the same time, and the Arabs. So what I realize is, though each of these groups are potentially enemies or some are just outright enemies, since the Jews are killing all of them at the same time and our people just are not in a condition right now to do much of anything, I have the responsibility to go ahead of my people and point these white folks in the right direction. Because what I'm realizing is, as I'm talking, I talk to white nationalists on a regular basis. They want to fight the ones that know what's going on. They just don't know how to do it. I do. I have the knowledge and understanding. They have the would be an army. They need my mind.
So I'm exchanging my mind for them doing what they need to do, primarily for one reason. If we go out here and try to strike for our liberation, even against the Jew,
right?
He will just say that he's white. Mm-hmm. He will just say that he's white, and that it's black people attacking white people, and the dumb white folks will come fight us.
Yep.
So we can't even do nothing with the Jew. We have to let the white folks go first. If they don't, there's no way to get to the Jew, because the white folks will be used as cannon fodder.
Yes.
So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, for the exact reasons you're saying, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find realistically strategies that will work based on the cards we've been dealt. If you only got one spade, you can't throw your hand in, and you got to play your hand. So you might have to fake cut, you know, what they call them. When you fake a cut and it's not a real one, you know, when you're playing spades, you might have to do whatever you can do to try to make board. That's where we are right now.
Yep.
And the best move we have on the board is people who already don't like Jews. Let's use the brilliance of our African mind and wisdom of maneuvering. Mm. Look, for 400 years, we've survived this thing here, fighting Jews, white folks, Asians, and everybody else, Hispanics now to some degree, and Arabs. We done fought everybody in this country, and we survived 400 years. I don't know how we did it. Well, we must know enough to tell somebody how to fight. So now we help somebody fight, not fight us, fight somebody else.
Right on. Well, listen, I got some other callers. Brother Ted from Montgomery, Alabama, Brother Ted Luss. Hey, good afternoon.
Good morning, brothers. And Brother Ayu, thank you so very much for sharing. You know, because for me now, historically speaking, it starts to clear up a picture for me when Marcus Garvey had that meeting in 1922 with a KKK, when I think his name was Young, when George Rockwell.
George Lincoln Rockwell,
right?
Yeah.
And really to kind of understand the work that, when you mentioned about white nationalism, what came to my mind was David Duke. All right. And so I just kind of wondered, where were we going with these unifications and meetings? And on the outside, it looked like it was just pure horror. But on the inside, there really was some sort of process of trying to galvanize one with another to work towards fighting against the Jew. My question to you is, what is it that we are really, I mean, I know it's fighting the Jew, but can you name specifically ABC 1-2-3 things that we need to do in unison with, say, white people to be able to fight this common the enemy that we have?
And I'm glad you asked that. I'm actually on the road driving, so I don't have the book in front of me and I can't open it now. But in the book, I actually do outline exactly what we need to do. But I can name a few things. They might not be in order, but a few things.
Uh-huh.
One, we need to publicly eliminate their ability to hide by both saying Jews are the problem. That means white folks, black folks, even if there's some Asians that understand, we need to all publicly, unabashedly identify them as being the problem. We need to show people that the problems that they're facing, how the Jew is the one that are doing them. Because what happens is this: the Jews playing with America, as we're watching it, as they're collapsing it, is to, you know, invade with outside forces, non-American immigrants, and then totally turn that against the black and white population of this country. And once they take the guns, it's over. Here's the thing. Our job is to get everybody to know the collapse of your economy is happening because of the Jews. The opening of your border, Mayorkas, is happening because of the Jews. It's the Jews that are doing it, because this is what happened. In the history of America, when white folks get a cold, black folks get the flu. What I mean by that, and you know what I mean by that, is when things go bad, black people get killed. We're going to get lynched, we're going to get murdered, we're going to get killed because we're going to get blamed. It doesn't matter that we don't have nothing to do with it. However, I believe the objective is, this is the first time in American history that we're in front of it. See, we're talking to them now. Jews are the problem. So now when we get that consciousness out there and we're saying that, everything that the Jew does to collapse the society, when people get mad, this time they're not coming after us, they're coming after the Jew. this is what I learned, and it is directly related to your question. I always thought that white folks just killed black folks just because that's what they did.
Okay.
It never dawned on me. It never dawned on me that, and I'm just learning through years. It's been taking years. The way that the white folks work is this. They're very emotional, more than us. We think we're emotional. They're way more emotional than us. Whatever you put in their mind, when they get upset about it and can't take it, they go out and strike. That's just how they are. They're much worse than us. When I really learned it was when I watched, when I really solidified it, when they start saying that Russia was bad all of a sudden, and I start hearing Sean Hannity talking about we should murder President Putin, he should be assassinated, and I start hearing these white Anglo-Saxons talking about murdering their own brother because, of course, we know the Jews control Fox News and all the news stations. And now the Jews have told white folks that Russia is the black man. Kill and lynch him. And the same ire and death and Klan type of personality that they have with black people, they have it on their own white folks. I said, I get it. Whoever is talking to white folks and gets in their mind, they're going to respond and react. So I said, I have to be that person. I know it sounds bizarre because I'm black. I don't like them. They don't like me. But I said, you know what? That might work. So when I go to them, I tell them that, look, I ain't here to be your friend. But if you want to survive, you better hear what I got to tell you. And they actually listen. It's amazing because I never would have thought this. I don't like them enough to talk to them. Now that I'm talking to them, it's still not that I like them. What I'm realizing is most of them really don't know that it's
they
the
don't.
Jew.
That's right.
And as they begin to know and see, whoo.
Go ahead, Ted.
And just one other quick one. Where does David Ben-Gurion fit in all of this? You mentioned Theodore Herzl.
Yeah.
You mentioned Balfour, et cetera.
Ben-Gurion was the first.
David
Ben-Gurion was the first prime minister. Yeah.
Ben-Gurion is the reason that John F. Kennedy got shot and killed. Because Kennedy was the last U.S. president that I'm familiar with that was strong enough to
challenge the Federal
Israel
Reserve.
And say,
yeah.
Yeah, he said, Ben-Gurion, you will not have, you're going to stop this nuclear testing. You're not going to get a nuclear bomb. Ben-Gurion stepped down, and then they whacked Kennedy. So Ben-Gurion is very relevant because it was under his administration that the decision was made, all right, this Kennedy guy got to go, which is relevant from this perspective. None of them are our friends. I'm not talking about friends. But from the perspective of stopping this Jewish annihilation of the planet, the thing is, there are a few white folks that got enough testicles, testicular fortitude to stand up to them. What the Jews have demonstrated is, whenever you do that, they're going to whack that white boy. They don't care how white he is. They're going to kill him. And that's most of the presidents you've seen that have been shot and killed, like Abraham Lincoln. He ain't nothing to do with no black folks. It had to do with the fact that he did the greenbacks. And he let America print their own money. Jews said, we're not having this. Whack.
Thank you, Brother Ayo. I'm waiting for all the callers and their questions and comments as well. Thank you so very much, sir. Drive safe.
All right, Brother Ted.
Thank you, my brother.
Brother Ted Lust out of Montgomery, Alabama. Love that, brother. Good brother. But one of the things that in our discussion and me reading the book, and I'm going to reread and read again because I want to bring you back, of course, whenever we get the chance to do it, man, to talk about this, because this is deep. This is the crux of the problem. The Jews are the problem. And you have an entity that it is them and everybody else. There's Jews,
that's
and
right.
Then there's Gentiles, or the Goya, or the Goan. And that's everybody else. Everybody else. The Asians,
right.
Us. Latinos, right. Whatever. And they must be erased. When you have the people that we talked about, this was eye-catching to me many years ago. I saw a piece with doing a TED. I don't know if it was a TED Talk. It's like a TED Talk, Bill Gates. And he said, we have developed a vaccine that will for population control, and I don't think you can find it again. You probably can't. I don't know. But a lot of times shit like that, They make sure that it gets erased, because vaccines are to help people get over whatever there might be within the environment to help you continue to what? Live. Population
right.
control means your ass is going to be dead. You know?
That's right.
And so now this virus has been utilized for population control. And they've been talking about population control for some time. And whose population do they want to control? Those who they deem who are, you know, useless, who are just scourges, who are outside of being Caucasian. Who, hell no, who's outside of being Jew. Outside of being a Jew. Let me just get this brother Paul.
Brother Ochi, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, brother. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You know, good morning, good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to your guests. Baba Ochi, my elder, do I have your permission? I want to just.
Please, you're on with Brother Ayu Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. We're talking about his book, Jews Are the Problem. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Brother
Ayo.
Oh, man. Ayo. Brother Ayo. Do you know Brother Pepperkai in the UK?
No, I don't think so.
The reason why I ask that, he's one of the main book distributors in the UK. I'm surprised, you may even know him. I'm surprised you don't know him. I mean, he's about the same age as Baba Ocho, maybe a little bit older, and he's been in the game for a long time. But he's the main book distributor. He's the one who used to bring all the books in from America and vice versa. So maybe it's a good connection to get your book into the UK.
Would you be able to give Baba Ochi that information, and we can reach out to him and see if we can make that happen?
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm surprised you don't know him. You know what I mean? Because he's really deep in the circles from day one. But anyway, you know, I'm listening to my brother, and the Jews are the problem. That's a very brave.
Yes, it is.
Commitment. He's made, yeah, and I have to commend him for that. And I know his work is he's putting himself out there. But you know what I'm going to say, Baba Ochi, is this, yeah. The first book I read on this subject was the Nation of Islam's book, The Secret Relationship Between the Blacks and the Jews.
Yes.
Now I want my brother to I want to be totally open. All my working career, I worked for Jews. I went into law and I was training to be a lawyer, not the way most people do it, go and get a degree or whatever. I had a day release where I studied one day of the week and I worked for these people. And to be honest with you, before I worked for them, I didn't really know much about them. I heard of them, but I didn't really know who they were. And then I learned so much about them as a people, these people you would consider Jews. And not only that, one of the firms I worked for, I used to see faxes coming to the office from Israel. Put it this way, some of the people I was working for were high up in that UK-Israeli movement. And I used to read some of them because, you know, they were mind-blowing. I knew nothing about these people or what they were involved in. And then I started to realise a lot of things about, for instance, the judiciary in the UK and law in the UK and how... And there's some things that personal experiences I had which was mind-blowing to me, how these people operate. And I put this out there as well. I did have some run-ins with a few of them. I had to write a letter to one of the partners who I really didn't like. I didn't get on with. I thought he was a racist. He was always on me every minute. And eventually I said, I've had enough of him. And rather than physically confront him, I wrote a letter. And it was sent to the senior partner. And I had to go in front of the senior partner and whatever. The reality of it is what I'm trying to say to you. I saw how organized these people were. How they move and how they operate. One of the partners I worked for used to work for the Hasidic community. He was the main solicitor or lawyer who used to work for them. So I learned a lot about how they operate and who they are. And then I read the Nation of Islam book, The Secret Relationship with Black and the Jews, and I learned another side to them. I read a book called Jews and Freemasonry, which actually blew my mind. Because I started to see things which I was experiencing I didn't understand within the law. I started to see things which started to add up. And then Tony Martin's book, The Jewish Onslaught. So I started to see how this game is operated and how these things are connected. So what I'm saying to you, my brother, is this, yeah? And you know what I learned also? Something took me onto some information about, my parents are from Jamaica, as Baba Ochi knows, but your guests might not know. And I also learned that one of the most successful slave operations was in Suriname. I never heard of Suriname until I read it in the Nation of Islam's book. I never heard of it. I never knew no one from it, but I heard it. I read about it in Nation of Islam's book. And they moved from Suriname when they were run out of Suriname by the tax authorities from Holland, who chased them out because they were trying to collect tax. And they moved to Jamaica. I spoke to people, my own family, others, and nobody even knew these people even existed in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Well, they did know they existed, but they didn't know to what extent. Mm-hmm. And the role they've played in Jamaica, from Suriname, in Jamaica. And it's mind-blowing. I also read that how some... I'm not even going to mention no names, because even now it's hard for me to mention names. Some people who are in the media who talk, who are actually connected to those people, and I've done the research. It's mind-blowing. Look, the bottom line is this, yeah? Today we see what they do in Palestine. Today, what they're capable and willing to do. All what you say, I absolutely agree with. But you know what crosses my mind? What the hell are we going to do about it? Because the reality of it is, right? We know today, they organize to kill people. And not just... Like, look, brother, I have to be honest. Not just name calling. Oh, cracker this and cracker that and all this crap. Right? They're not about name calling. They organize effectively to take out people. They organize effectively to take out countries. They do that. I've read it. They do it. So I'm saying today, I mean, it can't be about name calling and all this and all that crap. It can't be about that. You know, I commend your stance. I absolutely commend it because it's necessary, right?
Yes.
But what I'm saying is we have to get past that, man. And what I'm saying is how are we going to organize effectively to take them on? Because they are totally organized. And to me, right where we stand, we ain't got a chance in hell today the way we behave. I listen to all your radio programs and all. I follow you. I follow all of you. And we are so... broken, African-American, American-African, more, Israelite, all these nonsense. Friendly. How is that going to be effective? Tell me how. Yeah. And friendly. Not only that, there's a level of xenophobia I hear, a real level of xenophobia, which is kind of shocking. You're African-American. Okay, you have this exceptional idea about yourselves. Okay. But the reality of it is, can you really take on these people? They control everything. They control the finance. They control the Federal Reserve. They control absolutely everything. They control these NAACP or whatever you want to call it. They control it. How the hell are you going to take them on? That's my question. Because I hear what you say, but I don't think you're organized effectively. I think you're totally disabled. And it doesn't even seem like you really want to come together. Hey, African descendants of slaves. What the hell is that all about? What is that? You know, they don't like Caribbeans. They don't like Africans. Who are they? I mean, come on, man. Have you really got a chance in hell of taking on these people? We see what they do today.
Yeah. Let me jump in here because you say a lot. Now we got to go back and forth. I want you to stay with me, though. This is important.
Yeah, I'm going
to
stay here.
Stay right here. Did you actually listen to what I was saying before, or you came in late, or you heard what I said earlier?
I'm working, so I heard bits and pieces.
Okay, all right. That's what you missed. Okay. But you did bring up, I agree with all the points you made. Like you said, that we are totally disorganized, disunified, we don't even have an identity right now.
Absolutely.
Somebody, we got an echo.
I think that might be my phone. Let me cut something off.
Okay, so what I want to say is this. When I said we're not in a condition, and Baba Oshie heard me when I said that, we're not in a condition right now to organize to fight them because we're discombobulated, is exactly what you're saying. We got a non-African identity outside of Baba's like Baba Oshie and others, but generally speaking, and we still got a lot of feedback, the echo.
I don't know where that's coming from, to be honest with you. I've cut off. Let me cut that off.
Okay. Okay, yeah, now it sounds good now. So, the point being, you're right that we're not actually in by ourselves right now in a position to go forward. And it wouldn't even be wise to physically go forward now because they would just proxy the white folks directly against us. So what I said that I'm doing, I'm not talking about theory. It's already happening. I'm working. I'm on my way right now. Like right now, only reason I'm in the car is because I'm on my way to Florida. I don't go to no Florida. Where am I going? To a white conservative conference. Why? I'm doing it. I'm not talking about doing it. I'm doing it. I understand that there are whites who recognize that they're being exterminated. Am I friends the white folks? No. But in this instance, the reality of it is the Jews are killing all of us. So in exchange for helping us not get exterminated, like you said, the conditions we're dealing with, I'm
hey,
going
Paul,
to help
excuse me.
Them.
Excuse me. Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul, can you turn down your radio or your phone? Because that's where the feedback is.
You know what? I'm on. Okay. Let me come off of. I'm on.
Right now, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's
Thank
good.
You, Baba Ocean.
Is that better?
Yes. Thank you. Go ahead, brother.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brother Ayu.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you, Baba. So what we're doing is we're helping to organize the whites. Now, again, I mean, the danger to us is once they organize, you know, they organize. But they have to fight this if they're going to survive. It ain't for us. They ain't doing it for us. But reality is, I'm doing it for us. I'm doing it for us. And not just whites. I'm talking to Asians. I'm talking to, definitely I'm talking to Arabs. I ain't never talked to no Arabs. I know the history of African people and Arabs. I'm not an idiot. I'm an African, a pure, I'm like you, brother. I'm an African. I'm not off on none of this weird stuff. I am an African
who lives
in America.
I say.
But this is the thing. This is the thing. In warfare, the Haitians taught us something. If you want to win, you got to use your brain. The Haitians were exactly what you said. They didn't have weapons. They weren't organized. Bukman said, all right, this is what we're going to do. They don't like them. They don't like them, and they don't like them. So we're going to get with them, bang heads with them, get some fighting under our belt. Then we're going to go bang on them. Then when the last ones are left of the French, then they got to go. So in this case, it's not the exact scenario, but internationally, it is pretty much that scenario. If we are not cautious and we don't begin to put ourselves in this battle, this is what's going to happen. I want to say this is the most important thing I can say to you. Listen to me. Everybody is listening. If we don't insert ourselves into this battle and ensure that the lines of demarcation are Jews versus everybody else, this is what will happen. The Jews will organize and create a Beijing conference. It won't be the Berlin conference this time, the Beijing conference. They'll invite India, they'll invite Pakistan, they'll invite Brazil, they'll invite all of the European nations and China.
What about us?
Be where they're probably closer.
What about
Wait a
us?
Minute. Wait a minute. Listen,
okay.
Brother.
Listen. Okay.
They will invite everybody to the table to come to take Africa. That's what I'm saying to you. That's what they're going to be invited for. We
no,
are the meat. Listen to what I'm saying. Wait, hold. Let me finish, bro. Listen, this is a listening time. You got to hear this. If we don't insert ourselves into this, we are the mill. So what we have to do before that call is made, I'm telling you where it's going. We've seen it. We have to be the ones. We're the smartest. I'm watching. I'm doing this. I didn't know this. I'm being honest. In real time, I'm like, oh, we got this. We're going to say, yeah, this is going to happen, but we not the mill chicken. We the Haitians, and the Jews are on the plate. That's how we do it. Go ahead.
Right on. Go ahead, Paul.
All right, listen, you know, I do commend the brother because the brother is right, absolutely right. And, you know, like I said, Nation of Islam wrote the book, Secret Relationship of the Blacks and Jews, and they explain a lot of these things. Tony Martin, we know what happened to Tony Martin. He wrote the book, The Jewish Onslaught, and that was based on what was happening to him because he was raising issues what these people were doing, and they basically tried to run him out of town. Look, what I'm saying is, you said something there which is pinnacle, but I think it's already ongoing, and I don't know if people get this point. the Chinese, in order to formulate China, they embraced communism. They those who taught them communism, they were Zionists. Karl Marx, he was a Zionist. Okay, all that business which they embraced, the Chinese, came from them. I feel today they still are running China through communism, the vehicle of communism. So when you talk about what's going on in Africa and have us out of our meal, that's ongoing. They don't need a conference for that. That is ongoing. You can see the Chinese are there as the military arm on their behalf. They're the finances of that. Who gives them all the money? Who sets up all the banks for that? It's them. They give them the money. All this BRICS nation thing talk. What's the bank who's going to back that? I keep hearing this nonsense about BRICS nation. Who's the bank who's backing BRICS nation? It's Goldman Sachs. It's them again.
It's the Jews.
You know, none of these countries, Russia or none of these countries, can operate without a bank. Countries are just corporations. So when we talk about this country against this country, it's all make-believe. It's all a sleight of hand game. No country, even America there, can't operate without the bank. Who controls the bank?
The Jews.
Them through the European operations. It's not America who controls their money.
No.
It's Europe through the Federal Reserve. So this is ongoing. What you're talking about, they don't need no conference for. It's absolutely ongoing. And they're dividing us up. The same thing they're doing in America, they do to us here. The same thing they do to us here, they do in South America. The same thing they're doing in South America, they're doing in Africa. It's ongoing. The slaughter of us is ongoing. We're being annihilated as we talk.
Wait a minute. I'm hearing you, but I need to say something to you. You missed the whole point. See, you're missing it. Those of us, I can tell, people here know what's going on. So we're in the same space. We already know what's ongoing, but you missed the point, brother. The exploitation of Africa was already happening before the Berlin Conference. You're missing the point. You're not listening. You're missing it. Listen to what I'm saying. Yeah, the exploitation of Africa has been going on a long time, but the Berlin Conference marks a humongous shift in it, as did the Bretton Woods Conference. So what I'm saying to you, it's something on a much greater magnitude and scale. Because here's the difference in what you're saying. The Chinese are doing stuff for Chinese in Africa. Yes, they do have Jewish manipulators, but not total control, but they do have Jewish manipulators. You're correct. But the Russians, who are not monopolized and totally under control of the Jews, particularly under Vladimir Putin, they are helping the opportunity for black people, and the Russians generally historically have done so. So what happens is this. It is very different to have different exploiters exploiting us here and there, like the Haitians, than for them to all sit at the same table and agree to rape us together. You're not listening. I'm saying they will come together unless we are involved, so they can't come together.
Brother, I'm listening. Last thing I'm going to say, I'm listening. But what I disagree with you on, there's no conference. This onslaught, they've already agreed. They've agreed with it. Freemasonry, for instance, is the Jewish invention, Freemasonry. The most Freemasons is right there in the United States. The most Freemasons per capita is in the United States of America, right? And Freemasonry is a Jewish invention, right? This thing is ongoing. It's not. They don't need any conference. They've been sitting and
they
talking about
they need from day one.
Listen.
We only got limited time. They do need a conference. Let me tell you why. If they didn't need a conference, then Russia would right now be in all war with NATO. Why are they not? Because the Russians are fighting back. You can't miss that. You can't say that the Jews got all control. If they had all control, why is Vladimir Putin still in charge? Why haven't they been able to kill him? They don't win every battle.
No, because they want him there. They want him there. Where we disagree, let me tell you where we disagree. If you feel that this stage show which you're showing you is real, you feel that the opposition of Russia is real. Look, these corporations will fight each other. Corporations fight. That's what countries are. But behind the scenes, the ones who pull the strings, who are the financiers, and all the moneymakers. They're all united. How do you think all these guns and all that? Putin is just the front man. But behind the scenes, they're all heading the same way. And where they're heading is to just take us off the planet. And that's an ongoing. That's where we disagree. That's ongoing. And they agreed that long time ago. And it's every day they're doing it. The prisons they build, the chemicals they give us, the drugs, the food, it's all ongoing. And they've all agreed to it.
Okay.
All agreed to it long time ago, and it's continuing.
All right, Brother Paul. I appreciate you, man. Just hold on. You want to comment on that, Brother Ayo?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to first say I like Brother Paul.
Yep.
I appreciate Brother Paul, and I love what he's saying. I want to say this, though, because I'm right, and I just want to be right on this because it's important. If I wasn't sure, I wouldn't say it, and I can't be absolute, but I'm sure I'm right. Mm-hmm. It's not what he's saying. Don't misunderstand me. Do we have friends? No. Have they all definitively sat down and decided to work together in our destruction? No, they have not. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not listening. If they come together in a conference and make that decision, it won't look like this. It will look like an organized, unified, simultaneous assault on African people from all of these different countries. That is not happening. He ain't listening. Mm-hmm. That's where it could go if we don't get involved and get intelligent, which is why our brother Traore in Burkina Faso, we call One Africa now, is so important. Why Niger is so important. They are aligned with the Russians. They are putting the West out. They are putting the French out. Mm-hmm. And we cannot minimize that under some conspiracy that everything that happens, the Jews are totally in control of everything and everything. No, everything's not a trick. They're not the only people who plan. They're not the only people who fight. And we got to be able to see when we have some strengths and where our weaknesses are. But I love the brother. He's strong.
Right on.
Hold on, Jay.
Let me get the sister in. Okay, and I'll get back to you before our time is
up. All right.
Sister Habia? Senyanka? Okay, go ahead, Jay.
Hey, brother Gene.
Hold on. Oh, I can hear you. I can hear it now. Hold on. Go ahead, sister. I'm fine.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Good
afternoon to you and your guests. I appreciate both of you, and I'm agreeing with a lot of, of course, the Jews are atrocious, and they're genocidal. They're perpetuating the same thing that they said the Nazis did to them. They perpetuating it.
Yes.
I feel like Ben Yahoo over there.
Netanyahu.
Like Joe Biden to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, they both white. I mean, the atrocities that he's committing over there, Joe Biden is committing. So I was trying to, I had a question about this elite lining with these white people.
Go ahead.
And you said it was the KKK and it was two other types of white people that we should align with. I was trying to question that. And I believe, like Professor John Henry Clark said, we have no friends. I don't see trusting these crackers, these white people. We're going to align with them. We can't trust them. They turn on themselves like we were saying that they do. You know, and so for us to, I just wouldn't trust them aligning with them. I think that I wanted to know who were those other groups of the white people you see with the line with. I can't see a line with the cake, none of them. I don't trust them. They just, to me, they're just as bad as the white people.
Okay. Thank you, sister.
Let me say, first of all, excellent question. I appreciate it. And let me be clear. I never said a line with no KKK. I never said that. I did not say that. In fact, I said the opposite. I said, I can't even use the word KKK as an example. What I'm saying is, from our perspective as black people, white folks in general are like KKK. I'm not saying the actual KKK. What I'm saying is, I said the National Socialists, they would be what you call Nazis. Again, here's the benefit of what I'm saying. I'm not saying we're going to be friends. We're not doing miscegenation. We're not even building nothing up together. What I'm saying is, and it would benefit everybody, get the book, The Irritated Genie. You should read it. Because we're not talking theory here. We're talking about who won. Like, it's not an opinion. It's been done before. How did the Haitians win?
They understood we didn't like none of them and none of them like us. So they didn't go in and saying, we don't, they went in and saying, all right, we're Africans and we're going to win our own freedom and independence. Here's the strategy. It's not an opinion. They sided with the Spanish. They got rid of all of them out of Haiti.
So did.
And then when it was over, the French were there. And when the French was the last one, Dessalines took off his French uniform. Listen to me. I want y'all to hear this. He took off his French uniform as he had conspired to take all the weapons and arm his people. And now they were in Haiti. They were no longer going to be slaves. He was no longer a French general. He was now General Dessalines, liberator of Haiti.
Right on.
Listen, you got to know yourself. It ain't about trusting nobody. I don't trust half these Negroes out here. You can't trust these black folks. I don't trust none of them. I'm trusting my interest in the liberation and salvation of African people.
Ashe.
And that means you got to go to the battlefield, look at the cards you have, and play the hand you got. But I don't disagree with nothing what you're saying about not trusting anybody. I don't trust none of these races of people because we've had bad relationships with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Native Americans historically, but even right now, there's a little tension with that thing. So yeah. I understand where my sister's coming from.
Right on. Well, listen, Brother Ayo, I'm up against that time, man. Like I said, we got to have more discussion on this at another time, another date. I'm going to get the Minister of Wellness in here next Friday, you know, and talk about his new book and homosexuality and so forth. And, man, I love it. I appreciate your time, man.
Can I tell people where they can get the book?
Please do. Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, sir. So you can get the book, Jews Are the Problem, at waronthehorizon.com. When you go there, it'll take you to our bookstore. Take you to our store. You hit books, and you can go right in there and get our book. And you can also get the audio book. So if you like an audio book, you can get the audio book or the regular book at waronthehorizon.com. And in closing, brother, I hope I can just say really quickly, thank you for being who you are and what you do. The sophistication of this dialogue, we're not going to always agree. We African. We can argue back and forth. It's with love because we're trying to save our people. This, man, this is one of the best conversations I have had. I don't remember the last time it's been this rich. We got to disagree so we can get to the right answer. I appreciate everybody that's called, and I appreciate what you're doing, brother. I love you. Let's keep fighting, man.
Love you too, dear brother. Be safe. Listen, man, please be safe. You know, because what you're doing, you're challenging an evil entity, man. You know? But I ain't got to tell you, you know. Be safe, dear brother. Have a blessed weekend.
Okay, you too, my brother.
All right. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants that they can't do without and they shoneo don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahardie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a great weekend, family. Peace.